killed. Christians were being, okay, you guys have heard Roman candles, right? Like the fireworks. Okay, so Roman candles during this time was, so we all know the Roman Empire was, they were gruesome, right? They would crucify people, they crucified Jesus. Their torture methods were renowned. Well, one of their torture methods, which was called a Roman candle, so they had these streets, right? They were sophisticated people. They had streets and cobblestones. They were one of the first empires to introduce cobblestone roads. But what they would do, because they had street lights, right? That's cool. But their street lights were Christians on fire. So they were called Roman candles. It was Christians and their criminals and their people. They would line them up on the streets, put them on poles, and burn them alive. I know that sounds gruesome, and that's not what we... But this is what was really going on. So when the Bible talks about forgive people and stay in the race, and it's different when you think like they lived as believers thinking that they could get lit up for their faith. And another experience of the early church, what was called, you know, they called it the circus. But Nero, who was the emperor of Rome at the time, would throw Christians, men, women, children, throw them into the Colosseums that we see in Gladiator, and then they'd let animals just eat them and kill them and tear them to pieces while they're alive. Oh my gosh, I know this dark sounds dark and gruesome. But to me, what it's just put into perspective, what it means. Now, I don't believe as believers we need to feel guilty for not living in those times. We don't live in those times. But I believe as believers we should be conscientious of the idea of the fact that people have laid their lives down. That people have lived under persecution, that people currently live under persecution. And so when we read the Bible, that's why it comes to life for us. Because people gave their lives to make it so that we can read it, so that we can understand it. And it's not just words on a page. It is a living, breathing document that can forever change us. Amen. And so that's just a really good thought. So another thought was it kind of came because... You know, my son was singing that song. You guys, I'm not going to sing because I can't sing. My wife would get mad at me. But you guys heard that song. I'm no longer a slave to fear, right? I am a child of God. And I was just, I remember just hearing my son kind of got my voice. He's just, I'm no longer a slave to fear. And it's like, oh, poor pobrecito, man, you got my voice. It sucks for you. But his heart was just like into the song. And that premise, that idea, just being a slave to fear. And I know that, I don't know about you, but I can be fearful at times. I can live in fear and live under, like, scared of what could happen or afraid of the truth, essentially. And I realize that as children of God, if you're a believer in this place, then you are children of God. And you know, the Bible says that you can only be slave to one thing. It's either God or something else, whether it be a different idol, whether it be mammon, whether it be fear, whether it be idolatry. I mean, it could be a plethora of things, but it's God or something else. And I, as a child of God, I don't have to be a slave. I don't have to live in fear of anything. And so I think, you know, for our message tonight, what I want to share with you, and then we're going to have the band come up in a little bit because how many people love dreams? How many people dream often? I dream pretty much every day. And I'm always praying for dreams, believing for dreams. I believe that you can pray for dreams. And I pray for dreams. And last night I had a dream. I've been dreaming all week. But then it's like as soon as I wake up in the morning and try to remember what my dream was, it's like it slips right through my hands. And then you know how the more you focus on something, the more, like the faster it goes away. You're like, no. And it just like leaves you. And you're like, nah. But this morning I wrote it down. Because, and I had multiple dreams, you know, like they just kind of go, different episodes, right, different movies of dreams. But this dream that I had last night, it was about like an Ocean's 11 style prison break, right? Just like well thought out, well executed, you know, it was kind of like, just when you think something's not going right, Brad Pitt was really doing this, and it was like known all along, right, like, come on, like Danny Ocean, like that was supposed to happen. He was supposed to get caught, right? It was kind of one of those things, right? So there's just like perfectly executed prison break. And then towards the end of the dream, you know, he gets out of prison and then, or he gets out of the gates. And then you would think, you know, they called the police once they knew that there was something wrong, that someone was out. But it's kind of like the person, the man in the dream is walking out and is walking by the police walking by law enforcement who are trying to hound this person down. And he's just walking by, and essentially, like, there's nothing they can do. He's gone. He's escaped. And what I feel the Lord put on my heart this morning is that tonight, we're going to break free from prison. We're going to break free. There's people in this place that are chained, are imprisoned by thoughts, by anxieties, by sickness, by pain, by ailments, by anxiety, by fear, by distrust, by betrayal. And you're essentially in prison. You're in a moving prison. You're mobile, but the chains are so that you can't, are such that you can't really get out of them. But I believe tonight you're going to break free from that prison. And what I think that where the dream so connected and so resonated is that, see, because when Jesus breaks you out, there's nothing the enemy can do anymore, right? The enemy's going to be mad. The enemy's going to be upset. The enemy wants to tell you you're back in chains. But when Jesus breaks chains, there's no putting those chains back on. When Jesus breaks the chains, you can't put them back together. You don't run back to them. And so Jesus is going to break some chains and set people free tonight. And when you're set free, live free. And who the Son has set free is free indeed, the Bible says, right? They're not just kind of free, not just you snuck out. No, you've been broken out and the price has been paid by the shed blood of Jesus Christ on that cross. Shed blood of Jesus Christ on that cross. So we're going to be free tonight. And I want to set aside some time for us to get back into worship and really just kind of have that encounter and have that opportunity for us to see, because, you know, sometimes I think, you know, our chains are broken, but they're in front of us with our situations, because our circumstances sometimes just kind of stay right in front of us. So we just go, oh, shoot, my chains fell off, and we put them back on. But tonight what we're going to do is we're going to have you bring them right here at this altar. And I want you to leave your chains here and walk away free, forever leaving these chains and realizing that you are no longer in prison or a slave to anything outside of Christ. Is that good? Okay, so we're going to get into that in a little bit. I wanted to preview that for you, set you up for that. But I have a message that God put on my heart tonight, and it's called word of mouth. You know, because thinking about this movie and the idea of the spreading of the gospel and how the early church started, and I also think about our generation, right? We're a leave a review generation. You know, you go to a place, oh my gosh, that place is awesome. Let me Instagram it, show everybody that was here. Oh my gosh, this place was bomb. You got to come here. You got to experience this. Or like, oh my gosh, I'm going to leave a review. That was gross. It took 30 minutes, and then when it did come, it was cold, and the lady was rude. What was your name? Okay, Ruth was rude to me on my Yelp review, right? We're a leave a review generation. I'm going to comment on that. I don't really have to, but I'm going to go ahead and comment on that thread anyways. Right, my wife was telling me our neighborhood has a thread for our neighborhood, and people like to just chime in for no reason. Like, and I think someone on the thread put, like, you know that you don't have to talk on this thread, right? Like, you don't really have to. Like, if you don't like it, it's just like, it's so funny. But everyone wants to throw in their 2 cents, right? We're a leave a review generation. Talk, and we want to share our experience, often good or bad. But what I was thinking about was, I hope that, you know what, let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you. I just thank you, Jesus. I had to stop and pray because I realized that it is you, Lord, that we need to be in this place. Not me, not my thoughts, not my impressions, ideas, not looking for laughs, not looking for jokes, not looking for a sage on a stage, as Pastor Lucas said, Father God. But we want to hear from you, Lord God. So I just I ask that you would let me be a vessel, Lord God, for what you would say to speak to each individual in the place tonight, Lord God. You have ordained them to be here, whether they think they're here by mistake or not, Lord God. They are here on purpose for a reason. So we thank you, Jesus, for what you are going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. See, because I believe that we've been having, I hope I can get a witness, that we've been having a great time in Shift so far this year. It's been amazing. You know, we've heard great messages, we've heard great songs, we've encountered miracles, we've seen people healed, we've seen people freed, we've wiped away tears, people have been have been saved, have been born again, are living free from bondage. And that is awesome. And I believe it is word of mouth that is going to continue to grow what God is doing here. See, because the idea is, because we're a leave or review generation, it's like, hey, man, I got born again. I got saved. I got healed. I got restored on shift on a Friday night or at the Rock or wherever you guys, again, it's not just about building a church or a service per se. But that we're going to leave a review and talk about Jesus to somebody. Now, last week we had talked about, you know, I don't know if you guys remember, we prayed. You know, we prayed for people up here and we saw some healings and we saw. Now, I also encourage you guys to go out and maybe pray for somebody for healing or to lead them, to tell somebody about Jesus or invite them to church. Did anybody do that? You guys can raise your hand. Anybody? Want to pray for somebody? Right? Awesome. Want to pray for somebody this week? Okay. All right. That's a start. 1, 2. All right. Maybe next week we'll ask again. Yeah, I didn't know you guys were going to ask, so I didn't. Sorry. Had I known. So next week I'm going to ask. Next week we're going to ask to see who prayed for somebody. It's not really a test. But again, the important part is like, hey, can we leave a review? Because we leave a review. But you, I'm sure you left a comment somewhere. I'm sure you Yelped somebody. You made a post somewhere. Again, hey, so tonight it's not about to beat anybody up. It's not about to talk about what you haven't done. It's not to bring condemnation on anybody. Actually, I believe just the contrary. I believe tonight God gave me this message to give you hope, to encourage you, to let you know that what you do, what you say, can change somebody's life. When you guys leave this place and you go about to who you go about and see who you see, you can change lives by the words of your mouth. It doesn't take much to change somebody's life. It doesn't, because you're not the one changing a life. I am not the one changing a life. We are pointing to the one who does. Amen? You're not on the hook. You're not on the hook. God is, you know, I love Jesus was saying that. He says that, look, if they persecute you, don't take it personally. They're persecuting me. And I see that. Don't let it be mad by my sake, right? Don't be offended for my sake, because they're getting mad at me. I got your back, child. So but then we take things personally. But we're going to look at some verses in the Bible tonight that I believe are going to help us, to encourage us, to give us hope, to make us believe and see how we can actually make a difference. We don't just get up here to say you can make a difference just to say it because it sounds cool. Right before I came here, I was at a graduation. Our own team member here, Cynthia, graduated with her degree. Yeah, shout out to Cynthia. This afternoon, and there was a couple of keynote speakers and a student speaker. And, the message is great. They're always like, you can do it. You're going to conquer the world. You can leave this place and do it, right? And there's just encouragement, and there's hope, and there's inspiration. And that's great. And I believe that we as individuals have the ability to do those things. But if we can include Jesus in what we're doing, then it just makes it everlasting, right? Because now, see, hope can flutter. I believe that you can get hope, that you can get money, but then your money goes away, and if your hope was in the money, it's gone. Or in success in your career, but then your career goes away, and that success is gone, and your hope is gone, your joy is gone. See, these are all tangible things, but if we can give people Jesus, then it doesn't matter what the day looks like, Jesus can sustain us. Amen? So we're going to look in Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. It's actually another song lyric, but I think the Bible might have come first. I'm not sure. No? No? Nobody? Okay. So Revelation 12 and 11. Revelation 12 and 11. I think we're going to look at, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the world and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. And they overcame him. This is talking about the enemy, right? So this is Revelation, letters to the church, and they're talking about the enemy, and they're talking about how he was overcome. He was overcome by the blood of the Lamb, right? Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed, and the word of their testimony. So how do we overcome the enemy? We overcome the enemy by activating what God has done. Because God paid the price, right? So the debt is paid. So we take, we have the ransom money. And so we take this ransom money and then we profess it with our mouth. I love how it says it in the Amplified. If we could get the Amplified up there. Do we have that? And they have overcome, conquered him by means of the blood of the Lamb and the utterance, right? The opening of your mouth, the speaking, the utterance of their testimony. For they did not love and cling to life even when faced with death, holding their lives cheap till they had to die for their witnessing. There was that utterance. There was that opening of your mouth and speaking, giving witness. What witness? I'm glad you asked. You asked that, right? I know you were wondering. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. 3 and 15. 1 Peter chapter 3 and 15. If you don't have your Bible, you can follow along on the screen Bible. And do we have this one? This is in the NLT. Instead, you must worship Christ as the Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. What? Your hope as a believer, always be ready, always being ready to explain it. Here again in the Amplified. But in your heart, set Christ apart as holy, acknowledging him, giving him first place in your lives as Lord. Always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope and confident assurance. To anyone who asks you to account for the hope and confident assurance elicited by faith that is within you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. I love that clarification. First, that clarification that says, it's assuming that you're going to be asked. Why would you be asked? Because prayerfully, hopefully, you have hope in your life. That one's, have you guys ever run into someone like, man, that person must be a Christian. They're just happy. They're hopeful. They talk positive about things. Or now, how are we talking? How are we portraying in such a way that someone would assume and want to know, hey, that joy that you have, tell me about that. Why are you so happy? Why do you always look at things so positive? How come even though you got a pay cut, your hours got cut, and you got a flat tire, how come you can still be humming in the morning? Why is that? People are going to come up to you, is what the Bible is saying here. And they're going to ask you about that hope. And then when they do, what? To be hope, to be ready to explain ourselves, but still be nice. That means you don't got to go on the thread and be like, oh my gosh, the world is going to hell and this is why, blah, 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 blah. Right? Can we share the root of our hope? Can we share the reason for our hope? And this is exactly what the Bible is saying. To account for the hope with confident assurance. One more scripture. Because it's assuming here that the hope is in you and it's going to be exhibited in your life. But you don't understand. Look, the Bible is not going to ask you to do anything that God hasn't graced you to do. The Bible is not going to ask you to do something that you haven't been given the power and ability to do. I'm not asking you. The Bible's saying it. It's not like I'm saying, you know, like I did earlier, like, hey, raise your hand if you prayed for someone. The Bible is saying the hope that is in you, someone's going to ask you about that hope. Are we putting ourselves in position? And so this isn't even saying go street witnessing. Maybe God calls you to do that. But this is just saying in your everyday lives, be ready to talk to somebody about the hope or the root of your joy. Anybody joyful in the house tonight? I look around and I mean, I'm grateful because when we see people walking in, I see so many of you with such smiling faces and I could just tell you're joyful. And to be honest, I couldn't tell if you had a bad day or a good day. My assumption would be that you had a good day. But the reality is, as Christians, whether we have a bad day or a good day, that's a truly joyful person, right? Like, man, there's the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Bible says that, to let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Not whether or not you had a good day, not whether or not there's money in your bank account, not whether or not you're loved or your relationships are going well. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Man, that's exciting. Man, that means I can do it. That means I can be joyful. That means I can live in such a way that it should be assumed that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Look, titles aside, because I know so many people don't like, oh my gosh, if I'm a Christian, then now you've automatically boxed me in. And it's unfortunate, but it's the reality, right? You, as a Christian, you get boxed in as bigots, as haters, as closed-minded, and you don't like this, and you believe that. Before you even met somebody, you just say Christian, and all of a sudden they have all these checks against you about who you don't like and what you don't believe in, and this is what you fight against, and you're against equality, and you're against this, and you're, it's like, whoa, I just said what? But the reality is we can live in such a way that our lives just exude joy, exude happiness, exude favor. That's why I believe that we live in favor. You know, talking about finances, and man, that's why I want to just be such obedient in my finances. I'm just going to share, babe, because I'm just so excited. I was thinking, like, who can I tell? This is another thing, is the part of me that is leave a review. You know, we've been standing in faith because I bought a lemon, man. I bought a lemon that just hadn't been working out for me. Well, I was able to get in contact, and we opened a case to get my car bought back because it was just falling apart. And just got an email this morning. Hey, just wanted you to know your manufacturer reached back out. They're going to rebuy back your car, and you're going to get a check for X amount of dollars, and you're able to take that check and buy a new car. So that just happened today, right? And so, I was so saying that's favorable settlements. We've been making that declaration in the main church, and I get loud, favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, you know, because I just believe that God is just going to work on my behalf. Why? Because I have favor in my life. I have joy in my life. And people are going to know that I'm a Christian by how my life is, how I live my life. I live my life under favor, man. God is working things out on my behalf. I don't have to try to fight for it. Man, my car was falling apart. That looks like a sucky situation. But God knew what was up. Now I get a brand, I don't know if we'll get a brand new car, but I'm going to get a check. Put it that way. I'm going to get a check and we'll see what we do with it. But that's a good thing. So here goes that last verse I wanted to share with you. In Luke chapter 12, 11 and 12. Luke chapter 12, 11 and 12. This is the New King James Version. For when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say. Verse 12. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. So when they bring you, so when you're standing in front of persecutors, in front of religious people, in front of atheists, in front of antagonists, in front of people who are just trying to get a rise out of you, and you don't know what to say, oh my gosh, I'm not smart enough. This guy's an atheist who's been studying this for X amount of time. You know what? I don't have to worry about what to say. The Holy Spirit's going to speak to me, and I'm going to become a vessel for him to use the right words. Look, the point is not to win an argument. The point is not to win a debate. We want to give a delivery of a message or share our faith in such a way with gentleness. But if we're being Spirit-led, regardless of the words that might come out, I believe it's kind of like there's the Holy Spirit is attached to those words, and it hits their heart. And whatever you might have said or might not said, someone might have heard it differently, but the Spirit's going to speak to them in such a way that they're going to be blessed by your words. The Spirit's going to speak to them in such a way, like, but I stutter, all that. We see throughout the Bible. It wasn't just the best speakers, the best communicators, the smartest, most intelligent people that can win debates. It's you and I who can be used by the Holy Spirit to speak to somebody. How are we delivering our joy? How are we sharing the life, the message of our life? And that's where I believe each and every one of us in this place are called, that when we leave this place, to not just live in such a way, because then that's behavior modification. I'm not saying align your life, live out in such a way. I want you to do that. I believe that we should live in a way. But we don't want to live in a facade. Because what I don't want to bring upon is condemnation on somebody who's like, oh, but I've blown it, man. To be honest, I cuss in front of my coworkers, or I smoke on break time, or I've done this, I've done that. I would just look like a hypocrite now. Do we not just read that the Holy Spirit will use you? Talking about leaving a review. Hey, guys, guess what? I just got born again. Guys, I'm a believer now. I'm not perfect, but I believe in Jesus. Hey, I'm not perfect, but Jesus healed me this weekend. I'm not perfect, but God's doing something in my life. So now you don't have to put on the, guys, I'm Christian, stop doing this around me, stop doing that around me, this happened, or I've been doing this. Because if God's not looking at all your past sins, why are you going to wear the weight of all your past sins and mistakes? And then you're going to use those as a prison that we just talked about. See, then your past is the prison you live in. So you show up to work or you show up to your spheres of influence imprisoned by your past, and then you can't talk to anybody because you're in jail. You put your own self in spiritual jail. And it's funny because the chains have been broken, but you keep them on. Like, oh, my past, I've done this, I've done that. They know that. They know I've done this. They know I've done that. And so now I don't want to tell them I'm a Christian because then they'll just think I'm a hypocrite. Speak in love, guys. Because at the end of the day, it's not about trying to get someone to say a prayer. You know what I'm saying? When we say lead someone to Jesus, point them to Jesus with your life. Point them to Jesus with kindness, with love. See, our motives cannot be to convert somebody. Our motives have to be that which what Jesus was did, which was to love them. Jesus came to love. Jesus didn't come to get somebody to follow or repeat a prayer. So when we live our life, like, oh, but it's all a setup, right? Oh, there's this guy on work. I got to get him saved. Well, love him. Buy them lunch. Show them through your actions, not just in your words. In word and deed, the Bible says. Not just your words. Let your deeds show that you really love them. That you're not just trying to come so you can raise your hand next week. I prayed with somebody. You count. Can I pray with you? Okay, great. I prayed with someone. But you didn't show them any love. As soon as you finished praying, you said, bye. But they were hungry and you didn't care. But I prayed with you. I don't care that you're hungry. Like, let's love people. Let's do it the way Jesus did. And let's let Jesus on our behalf do these things. Let's just be vessels for him. Conduits of his love. Conduits of what he wants to do. Conduits of healing. Conduits of praying for people and watching their lives change. And by the word of our testimony, the blood of the Lamb, the price has been paid. Now, the word of our testimony. That's how we'll overcome. That's how we'll see change. That's how we'll see this room filled. That's how we'll see churches in the Inland Empire filled. That's how we'll see the Inland Empire saved. That's how we'll see our generation who has such a bad stigma changed. That's how we'll have a movement. Not by fancy words. Not by positioning things to look great. Because unless it's sustained and maintained by Jesus, it'll all blow away, guys. Wood, hay, and stubble, the Bible talks about just our good deeds or whatever. We want to be precious stones and rubies and metals that are just going to be refined by what God is doing. When under fire, when under pressure, they'll just be refined, right? You burn up gold, it just gets pure. You burn up wood, hay, and stubble, our works, our false motives, our bad intentions, it just burns up, guys. It might look cool to another Christian. Oh my gosh, that guy's living so awesome. But your motives are wrong. Our motives can be wrong. Guys, again, the reason why this is an encouraging message, the reason why this is a message of hope, is because we can all do this. I don't care what you did before you walked in this place. I don't care what your situation looked like when you came in here. We're leaving. We can leave reset. We can leave recharged. We can leave refreshed, knowing that God can use us. The word of God is living. We got some scripture in us tonight that we can cling to. Man, I know that the blood of the Lamb saved me. Now the word of my testimony is how we're going to conquer. Now I know that when I don't know the words to say, the Holy Spirit is going to give them to me. Now I know that I want to, the joy that I have, the joy that I can put in me is what I can use to talk to people. And I'm going to talk to them in such a way, I should always be ready to defend my faith. Now, defending your faith doesn't have to mean argument, right? I should always be ready to say, look, I don't know exactly what you're talking about, but this is what Jesus did for me. Jesus has healed me. I was talking to, I was at a birthday party, and I was talking to one of the mentors of Breaking Free. And I just loved hearing his story because he was like, man, I did this as a young person, this. And once I got saved, my whole life just turned around. Things just started lining up differently. He didn't say everything went right. He just said, like, he could see the date from when he became born again. Things just changed, meaning the process of how they happened, right? Because you can see there were still ups and downs in his life as a Christian. But when he had those downs, he was able to relay it back to how Jesus brought him back up, right? But when we don't know Jesus or we live outside of Jesus, our downs are like this is like never-ending spiral of things that we can never really get ourselves out of. And maybe that's you tonight. Maybe you've never received Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never put your faith on Jesus. Maybe you've never really started a relationship with him. But that doesn't have to be your forever. You have an opportunity to leave this place tonight as a born-again Christian. My gosh, born again, that sounds weird. The media.